And we're here to get the mind of God this week. We're here to learn how to respond to the Word of God. And as we come to this particular passage, I want to share with you, just briefly, the why and how of biblical stewardship. Now, in the Bible, the word believe is given 271 times. The word love is mentioned 714 times. The word give is mentioned 2,162 times. God's word places great emphasis on giving. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave. And so why do we give? I'm told that millennials like to know the why of a matter. I'm going to give you the why this morning. If you want to take notes, there are three simple thoughts. First, we give to show our gratitude for what God has done in the past. We give to show our gratitude for what God has done in the past. Look, if you would, at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. The essence of Christianity is giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. And we must daily be motivated by the cross. I think of the little lad with his loaves and fishes and how he came and gave to the Lord. I think of the widow and how she gave, as we call it, the widow's mite, a few cents. And God said she gave out of her, not abundance, but out of her poverty. I believe that we should give because we're grateful for what God has done for us. We're grateful for his grace. The Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How many of you are thankful this morning for the grace of God? That he was gracious to send his son, that he was gracious to offer salvation, that our sins are covered. And I believe there may be a few with us, even this morning, and you're not 100% sure that your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb. You'll never truly understand giving until you understand the grace of God. Because the greatest motivation for giving and serving is the knowledge that God's loved you so much that he would forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven. We give because we're grateful for what God has done for us. We're grateful for the gifts that he has given unto us. Notice in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, it says these words, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Would you say that with me? Thanks be unto God. That's Jesus Christ. And so we give to show our gratitude for past blessings. Years ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and I was standing at the Vietnam Veterans War Memorial. Inscribed upon the marble wall are 64,000 names of men who died in Vietnam. And as I was walking past this memorial, there was a man standing at the memorial, and he had his fingers up on the etched name of a fallen soldier. And as he was standing there touching the memorial, he had tears coming down his face. And I don't know why, but as a pastor, I felt led to go and place my hand upon his shoulder. And I just said, can I help you? Can I pray for you? He said, many years ago in Vietnam, we were coming under fire. And he said, this man, and he pointed to the name and he read the name. As the fire was coming, he said, he stepped right into the line of fire and he took the bullets that should have entered my body. And he said, I felt like the least I could do is come here once a year just to say thanks and just to remember what he did. When we write our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, we're simply saying thanks to him for what he did. The world makes fun of your benevolence. They think it's fine to spend $7,000 or $8,000 in Las Vegas. They think you're weird to give to the church. But I want to tell you, if you are saved, it's the right thing to do. It's our privilege to be able to give. We give to show our gratitude for what he's done in the past. Make sure that you are motivated scripturally. Make sure that you are giving not by reason, but by revelation. One of my men said to me a few years ago, he said, my CPA said I need to not give so much. I told my CPA, I'll let God tell me how much to give. Give by revelation from God. Secondly, we should give to prove the priorities of our life in the present. Giving keeps me on track in the present. It keeps my heart right with God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now, as we consider our present priorities, let us make sure that we have given ourselves to the Lord today. The Bible says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. The Bible says, "What, know ye not that you have been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are Christ." And so when we give, we not only say, "Jesus, thank you for saving me," but we say, "Jesus, I love you today." And I've seen many Christians come to the altar and surrender their life at the altar. And I think on Thursday night, they sneak back into the church and pick their decision up and take it off the altar. And they renege. And the Bible says when we vow a vow to God, we should not defer in paying that vow. And when we give, we're just simply saying, "Lord, I'm still in." Now, some of you men that have been saved a while, have you ever known a businessman or a good giver in your church or a good Christian? And somewhere along the line, they slowly faded. And somewhere along the line, they just slipped out, and they're no longer serving the Lord. And I can tell you as a pastor, the first thing that stops in their spiritual walk is their giving. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when our treasure is wrapped in other things, we're going to follow those other things. But when our treasure is in the things of God, then we're seeking first the kingdom of God, and God will bless that. So we give to prove our priorities have not changed. I thank the Lord, Romans 12, 1, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give yourselves. And then we not only give ourselves, but we give our gifts to the Lord. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. This group of Christians in Northern Macedonia, they wanted to give this gift to the Lord. And God has called us to give. I heard of a preacher that was visiting a farmer, and he said to the farmer, he's just talking to him about these things. He said, "Now, if you had 100 cows, would you give 50 of those to the Lord?" He said, "I sure would, preacher." He said, "Well, if you had 1,000 chickens, would you give 500 of those to the Lord?" He said, "I sure would, preacher." He said, "Well, if you had 2 hogs, would you give 1 of those to the Lord?" He said, "Now that ain't fair, preacher. You know I got 2 hogs." See, we don't mind discussing things in the abstract. But when it comes down to this matter of really saying, "Lord, whatever I have belongs to you." You see, God doesn't prosper us for our standard of living. He prospers us for our standard of giving. God is blessing us to be a blessing. So we give ourselves to the Lord. We give our gifts to the Lord. And in doing this, we are proving the sincerity of our love. The Bible says in verse 8, notice this, to prove the sincerity of your love. Would you say that with me? To prove. Now, if I come home from this trip and I say to my wife, "Sweetheart, I thank you for 37 years of marriage. Thank you for letting me travel faraway places and preaching the Word of God. Thank you for raising 4 children who are serving God in ministry today. Thank you for helping me in so many ways. You're the best wife in all the world. And to let you know how much I love you, I have brought you 2 bags of peanuts from the airplane on Korean Airlines." How many of you understand she would send me back to Manila? She might say, "If you love me so much, why did you bring me peanuts from the airline?" You know, gentlemen, God is calling us to lavish love upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to prove our hearts are still involved with Him in this present. Legalism focuses on how little do I have to give. All right, what is it? What do you want? Okay, 10%? All right, fine, there it is. But love focuses on how much can I give? How much can I give? Why do we give? We give to show our gratitude for past blessings. We give to show that our priorities have not changed. We're still in love with Jesus Christ, right? And then I want to give you a final thought today. Why do we give? We give to express our faith in the future. We give to express our faith to God for the future. In other words, we're saying, "Lord, as I give this, I believe you're going to provide for me tomorrow. The contracts, the land, the investments, the partnerships, you will provide this." Now look at chapter 9 and verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So here we see the principle of the harvest, Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap, right? You friends, today we cannot outgive God. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. Now, giving is not a debt you owe, it is a seed you sow. All right? Giving is not a debt you owe, it is a seed that you sow. And we're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. And so we give to express our faith for the future. God's ways are not our ways. Our ways include working harder and borrowing more and doing it our way. God's way is the anointing and the blessing of your business and the bringing of partnerships and plans that were not of your own making. In fact, Isaiah said, as he spoke for God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord." For example, God says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." That's not logical to us, but this is the faith way. It's the principle of the harvest. And so we see that God has called us. In fact, in Malachi 3, you've no doubt read, he says, "Prove me now herewith if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you." God's literally saying, "Try me," right? You've heard of the Pepsi challenge. Well, this is the God challenge. God says, "I want you to try me and see if I will not bless your business in a wonderful way." Proverbs 11, 24, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, and it tendeth to poverty." I have seen this so many times. I have seen men who hoard and hold, and they would never want to give to the offering, but they give to the stock market religiously. And how many of you understand that stock market is up and down? And I've seen men give and give and give, and then they'll make another investment, and God blesses that investment, and he blesses their life. And the guy that never gave, give and give and give to his favorite stock, and the stock just completely dropped. And the one that withheld, it tended to his poverty. And the one that was a giver, it tended to his increase. You can take that to the bank. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not under your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So the principle of the harvest, and then secondly, the practice of the giver is found in verse 7. It says here, "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." God says, "I want you to plan prayerfully. I want you to make your plan." Notice in verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Chapter 9, verse 7. "Every man as he purposeth in his heart." So, gentlemen, as you listen to the preaching in your local church, and as you're reading the Word of God, begin to formulate in your heart prayerfully, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" As you purpose in your heart, verse 7, then it says, "So let him give," not grudgingly or of necessity, "for God loveth a cheerful giver." So when you think of the practice of giving, let me tell you this. Plan prayerfully. Secondly, give cheerfully. Look at this verse number 8. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, I heard a preacher one time say, "Well, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch." I want to tell you something. I don't like that statement. I honestly do believe that God looks at your heart as much as he looks at the amount. I really believe God wants us to be so happy that we can give to him. Once a year at our church, we have a sacrificial offering. And contrary to perhaps the perception of things, I do not pastor a wealthy church. We have a few members that have been greatly blessed. I pastor what I would consider to be a Macedonian church. People who are predominantly middle-class people who have really learned how to sacrifice. And I've been humble over the years, and I wish I had time to tell you about the deeds for land that have been placed in the offering plate, wedding rings. We've never asked for that. In fact, I've given many of those back. And I remember going to a young couple that gave their wedding rings so we could build our church. And I said, "Listen, I'm going to find out what this is worth. I'm going to give that in the offering. You take this back." And a young married man looked at me and he said, "Pastor, I didn't give those rings to you. My wife and I gave those to Jesus." And every year we come together, and and folks just give. I wish I had time to tell you the stories. Motorhomes, properties, 401ks cashed in. When you see the Lancaster Baptist campus, you're seeing the grace of God in action. But what I want to say is not so much about how much has been given. What I want to tell you is this. That night of giving is the happiest night on the calendar year at Lancaster Baptist Church. It's like Disneyland and Christmas. It's all of that put together. People are so filled with joy to be able to give to the Lord. My friends, that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I preach in churches all over America, and a lot of times during the offering, you can tell something about the spirit of the church. You'll see a guy pull out his dollar bill, you know, and you can almost hear the conversation in his head as the offering plate's coming. He's saying something like this: "Well, George, it's been nice knowing you. Here comes the offering plate. Yeah, we're about to part company now. It took me 7 minutes to earn you. Goodbye." That's not cheerful giving. When you get a hold of this principle and you're able to give, and some of you, perhaps your first $10,000 and $100,000, and as a man I was talking to not long ago, he began to weep with joy, and he said, "I was able to give my first million this year." He said, "My wife and I have prayed for that for so long." He said, "It was the greatest moment of my life." When you get a hold of this thing, it's a joy to give. So I encourage you to plan prayerfully and give cheerfully, and then participate systematically. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. I would encourage you to always remember the tithe is the Lord's, and the tithe belongs to your local New Testament church. And I would encourage you to consistently give upon the first day of the week. I saw a bumper sticker in the state of North Carolina. It said this: "Tithe if you love Jesus, any idiot can honk." Let me tell you something. Tithing is the beginning point. But then as you think about the 1040 window and some of the opportunities that come in a meeting like this, begin to pray that God would lead you. And seek counsel, but then participate systematically. Participate proportionately. Someone said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And I would encourage you to remember that you're making a living, and that's wonderful, but you make a life by what you give. You find purpose, as Nehemiah did, and you're involved in this way. And then let me say this: wait expectantly on the Lord to bless your life. Just believe this: but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so, why do we give? Millennials like to know the why, but businessmen like to know the why as well. Let me share it with you. We give to show our gratitude for the blessings of the past. We give to show our priorities in the present. And we give to say, God, I'm still having faith in you for my future. So think of this. Why do we give? We give to say, Lord, thank you for what you did on the cross of Calvary in the past. Lord, I love you today as much as I did the day you saved me. And Lord, I'm believing that you're going to do something great tomorrow in my life. Oh, I pray tonight, that this morning, that all of us would remember we're giving either by reason or by revelation, and that we will let God direct in our lives each and every day. Years ago, there was a preacher by the name of George Truett. And George Truett went to a Sunday lunch outside of town and outside of Dallas, where he pastored the First Baptist Church. And he was with a rancher that had been blessed in his church. And the man was just kind of giving the pastor a tour. And they went up to an observatory place in the house, and they were looking around the ranch. And he said, Pastor, he said, I want you to look out here to the west. He said, everything to the west, all the cattle and all of the barns out here, he said, as far as you can see, I own that land. And he said, I want you to look out here to the east. He said, this is a lot of wooded land, and it's where we like to do a lot of hunting. And he said, if you look out this way, everything in that direction, as far as you can see, I own that. And he said, if you look over here to the south, you see the oil rigs and some of the trucks. He said, as far as you can see in that direction, I own that land. And he said, if you look out here to the north, you're going to see some of the different buildings and some of the different properties. As far as you can see to the north, he said, in that direction, I own that land. And Pastor Truett looked at the man and he said, let me ask you this question. How much do you own in that direction? And I want to encourage you today that you would invest in the eternal work of the Lord Jesus Christ, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, that you would invest in the work of the Lord Jesus. Money is so intimately related to the giver that we cannot give money without giving ourselves. And when we give to the Lord, we are expressing to him, Lord, you have bought me with a price. I give to show my gratitude for what you did in the past. I give to prove that my priorities are with you in the present. And I give because I believe you will bless me in the future. And that is why we give.